3, 2, 1. Hello again, welcome to the Project Fit podcast, episode number 28 now. And on the show today, I can't get my words out. I've got Tamu Thomas, who's been a long time as kind of association. We've been trained with me, we've collaborated a bit. Excited to have you on. So Tamu, do you want to tell people what you do, what your scope of genius is, and yeah, let's rock and roll.
Well, firstly, Greg, thank you very much for having me on your podcast. I'm feeling really honoured to be here because I love your work. I love what you do. And even if I show up in your comments on Facebook and say, yeah, but Cocoa Pops aren't healthy. I really do. Not just appreciate, I enjoy your work because I think you give people the freedom to start to claim their health, their fitness, their fat loss on their own terms rather than subscribing to all of these overwhelming things. So yeah, firstly, I'd like to say thank you. I'm really pleased to be here. So as Greg said, my name's Tamu Thomas. I am the founder of a wellness brand called Live 360. And the ethos of Live 360 is for me to utilize my skills and the things that are around me, so not going out to go and find new things, although new things are all good, to support women, particularly Generation X women, so that's women in their very late 30s, early 40s and beyond, connect with themselves with loving kindness so that they can live the lives that their hearts are craving for, rather than trying to force themselves to live the life their mind wants, which is based on what society says, what Shelley down the road is doing, rather than the things that will really make their heart sing. Because I think if you're living a life that that is in alignment with your own values, the things that give your life meaning, you'll be more inclined to do the things that you need to do to allow yourself to achieve optimal mind-body health, as opposed to the things you think you should be doing that you don't do because you don't believe them, and then you spend a lifetime beating yourself up for not doing the things you want to do.
So it's that misalignment of values is a big thing that drives the ladies that you coach to burnout, overwhelm, frustration.
Self-hatred, Greg. Like sometimes, let's keep it all the way real. Sometimes it is self-hatred, and that self-hatred and that lack of connection with self manifests itself as neglect. And I know that that is a strong word, but my background is social work. I was a child protection social worker for 15 years. And one of my areas of interest and specialism was emotional abuse and neglect. And the patterns, regardless of the delivery, the patterns are very similar. And when you look at neglect and emotional abuse, when you know what you need to do, but you're not doing it, that is emotional abuse and neglect. And it's slightly different when you don't know what to do, but when you have conscious awareness but you're not doing it, that is emotional abuse and neglect to yourself.
Now that's a deep point. I'm going to come back to that one at some point. I like that. Maybe that's going to be another podcast. I think that sounds
Very happy to come back, Greg. No talking, I love it.
I know you love to talk. As BT says, it's good to talk.
Indeed.
So, and obviously you invited me into your arena and your group. Was talking about the kind of burnout, trying to live at 100 miles an hour and neglecting yourself. And I did a talk for your group, which was awesome. Loved it. If you have me back.
It was brilliant. We're still talking 2 months later. My membership group are still talking about the sleep and vitality workshop you ran for us. So if anybody needs a workshop about health and wellness, Greg is your guy, as well as me.
Maybe we should tag team that, but let's hold that thought for a minute.
Okay.
We'll get too excited. So yeah. One of the things you want to talk about was the whole kind of burnout thing, and you touched on it. Mm-hmm. So what is it you see as the biggest issues with the ladies that you work with?
Well, Greg, do you know what? Let me start with myself, because it's very easy to externalize and not really take responsibility. So I'm sitting here on Greg's podcast talking about wellness, but I came onto this podcast, I'm here on the brink of burnout. So I knew that I was supposed to be meeting Greg at a certain time, but I very quickly forgot that and decided that it was half an hour later. And I know that being scatty in this way is one of my tells for burnout. So I'm grateful, actually, because I wouldn't have allowed myself to acknowledge what my body was feeling, because my head is running at 100 miles an hour. And that is what I see reflected all around me. And what I will also say is, just because I am a life coach, just because my thing is about wellness and doing the things that allow you to live optimally, it doesn't mean that I don't fall short. But the difference is, for me, I've trained myself. So that is now information. So rather than beating myself up that I'm on the brink of burnout, I now know that there are things that I need to do to take myself back. I think you've always got an opportunity to start again. Every second is an opportunity to start again. Mm-hmm. And the thing that is really interesting is that we think that we're these complex individuals. We are, but equally we're mirrors for each other. So yep. The women I sit that are in my space, I have a membership group, which is a monthly subscription membership group. The women in that membership group, as well as the women that I coach, as well as the women that show up on my social media feed, the common thing that they have is that they have many goals they want to achieve, and they are hurtling towards the goals without thinking about the process. Mm-hmm. They're hurtling towards the goals without checking in to see whether or not those goals are really their goals in the first place. And I know that there are some goals that are non-negotiable with regards to work, etc. But when it comes to burnout, it's often our approach to the thing rather than the thing. Mm-hmm. So the way we work, for example, we have a workplace culture that promotes presenteeism. So that's people being at work from the crack of dawn till the end of the night to prove that they are working. We have the idea that for me to be fit and well, I need to be in the gym 20 times a week. I need to be going to yoga. I need to only be eating things that are green. Actually, you're focusing on something that is unattainable. Mm-hmm. How about meeting yourself where you are and starting from there and taking incremental steps that allow you to build momentum? Like, life is not social media. It's not Insta. It's not a constantly refreshing timeline. Mm-hmm. And something that I say to the women I work with on a regular basis, it took you a long time to get to a point whereby you are feeling burnt out and you have got a number of limiting beliefs that generally stem from the same place that are governing how you operate. So when you think about the length of time it took to get you to where you are now, you need to honor yourself and gift yourself with some time to be able to see the benefits of the changes you're trying to make. Mm-hmm. But that comes with honesty, and some of that honesty is going to reveal things that you don't like. But so what? You're not going to die.
Yeah. Like, failure, like, I think we've got this culture, and you mentioned about presenteeism at work. Failure is almost seen as a really bad thing, but actually, failing and hitting a goal is actually teaching you something about what you did in the process, the methodology you use. So why do you think we have this big thing about failure and that you should never fail, you know? Why do you think that is?
I think that is because we are very attached to the identity we think we should have rather than who we actually are. And because we are very attached to who we think we should be, which is dictated by society, we then judge ourselves really harshly. and we live from our perspective. So if I'm judging myself really harshly, that means I'm judging everything and everybody else really harshly. Therefore, a mistake becomes a defining factor rather than another part of the jigsaw.
Yeah.
When the reality is, where do you learn the most? You learn the most from your mistakes, your missteps. A child, I remember being on holiday in this holiday apartment, and there was an electric cooker, and I kept telling my daughter, she was three or nearly three at the time, I kept telling her not to touch the hob. It had a guard, but her fingers were small, so they could fit through. I was telling her. She was so curious. She still went there, even though the hob was black because it had been turned off. It was an electric one, yeah. Halogen or whatever. It was still really hot, and she burnt her fingers. She did not touch that hob again.
Yep.
No, I'm saying my words weren't enough.
Mm-hmm.
And we think everything has to be really good and really great and blah, blah, blah. But when you're doing that, you're only allowing yourself to be half human. There is nowhere, anywhere in humanity that suggests things need to be right, perfect, good, great, comfortable all the time. And if you look, I talk a lot about looking at nature. There was a period of time when I felt really low and I just spent ages looking in my garden, and I really started to observe nature and then started to Google things. Growth isn't easy, but we're designed for growth.
Mm-hmm.
Our consciousness makes us scared of growth, but we are hardwired for growth. If you look at nature, none of it is perfect, but it's oh so perfect.
Mm-hmm.
But nature, if you think about the world, humans, plants, other animals, all of that came from mutations.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Cells mutated and mutated and mutated. We got dolphins, we got oak trees, we got palm trees, we got humans, we got, you know. So if you think about the real beauty in life, that has come from something that has malfunctioned from the way it was originally designed.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And furthermore, when we're making these mistakes and we're not doing these things or whatever the case may be, sometimes when it's like, I have to check myself. Most of us and most of the people that are living in this, that are listening to this podcast, most of the people that enter your world, Greg, when they make a mistake, no one is going to be harmed. No one is going to be killed. There's not going to be any irreparable damage.
Most people,
I'm going to lose money. Money doesn't disappear.
It flows.
Thank you.
Definitely. I think
so. Yes, judgment. And it's the way that we judge ourselves that we're judging others by that. And therefore, we don't want people to make mistakes because we've been sold this story that everybody needs to be perfect. And we can't make mistakes because we're supposed to be perfect. However, you're never going to be no one's ever going to be perfect, but you're never going to be the authentic person you are designed to be because you're too busy living in your shell rather than living in your body.
Definitely. And something you mentioned earlier about how society judges us, I actually think that a lot of our software programming, as it were,
mm-hmm.
the software, which is up here, and the hardware, which is the body,
mm-hmm.
software is designed by parents, teachers,
mm-hmm.
and your friends.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the stories that people have in their head. So I know, for example, I was supposed to be a doctor or a lawyer. Mum said,
of course.
I had to be a lawyer or a doctor, or else I couldn't do anything else. Don't worry, Mum, I love you.
But that's the immigrant parent way.
Yeah, and you feel like you have to live up to these, you know, you want to be a lawyer, but actually you want to be a vet.
Mm-hmm.
You live in someone else's dream,
mm-hmm.
rather than your own. So I think that's an awesome point. I love that. I think what do you do to check yourself when it comes to that? Because often, you know, you run a business, you've mm-hmm. got goals you set, and sometimes you don't mm-hmm. reach them. So how do you deal with that yourself?
One of my key things, something that I talk about all the time, is that I journal. So journaling for me became a place where when I started to allow myself to write what I really was thinking and feeling, rather than writing what I think I should be thinking and feeling, I was able to really see what some of my mind chatter is saying. Mm-hmm. And because, you know, I love spirituality, I love, you know, the idea of metaphysics. I'm not really too keen on the law of attraction as a whole, but there are many elements of it that I subscribe to. So I love all of that. But I also love science. I sit at the intersection of science and spirituality. And, you know, that's also something that has been inherited from my social work background. So I started to look at what I was allowing myself to believe. And I really love the world of positive psychology, and used some of the tools from positive psychology to actually provide some context. So that meant when I would say things like, one of my big ones is, I'm really great at starting things, but not good at finishing them. But there are loads of things that I finish. There are loads of things that I do over a long period of time. So I started to look for the evidence to support that. Tangible, concrete evidence. It's not about positive thinking. That's all good. But if you're in a place whereby you don't have the skills for positive thinking, you need to provide yourself with some evidence. Otherwise, your whole being is going to say, that's trash. I don't believe it. So I started to provide myself with the evidence. And within the evidence, when I was starting and not finishing, and when I was starting and following through, the big difference was the difference between doing what I thought I should be doing and doing what I believed I should be doing and was capable of. Yeah. So journaling has been a really great one. Also taking time to do things like meditation. And I'm not talking necessarily about the style of meditation where you are not merely, because that makes it sound small, but the sort of like more mindful meditation where when thoughts come up, you observe them and let them go. I'm quite a cognitive person, so I do disappear off into that thought. So I listen to guided meditations. I can manage 2 minutes of meditation, so I'll do that, and I can do that at any point in the day. And I like to go for walks, even if it's, I really don't have that much time, but I need to do this. I'll just walk around my garden. And training is really great as well, because when I allow myself to do things that connect my mind with my body, I can then feel within myself, actually, I'm acting out of alignment. So for example, I was doing training with you, and the training was early in the morning. And I got to a point where I was really starting to beat myself up, because gradually I was not getting there in the morning and whatever else. So I started off, I was motivated, but I know that motivating doesn't mean that much for me, because motivation is fleeting. But then what I realized is, at lunchtime, I felt very called to move my body. I have designed a life whereby I work from home. And I thought to myself, well, rather than beating myself up for not getting there in the morning, if I've noticed that I am more inclined to move and appreciate that and get into a flow state, why don't I just contact Greg and say, can we do some PT at a rate that, at a frequency that I can afford for the time being at lunchtime? And then I continue that myself to give myself a chance. So it's doing things that give me the opportunity to actually feel what's going on in my body and allow myself to be vulnerable enough to accept what my body's telling me without being like, you idiot, you're supposed to be doing this. You can't do this. Come on, man up, and all of those kind of things. Actually meet myself where I am.
I think, and that kind of, you know, when I work with people in nutrition, people expect me to do one certain way. And it's not about that. I'm trying to find the flow state of nutrition for you. But people expect, right, you must do this. You must.
Yeah.
Because it never works.
Yeah, exactly. You
fall off straight away. So,
And speaking of nutrition, that's another one. If I am really quote unquote busy and I'm not eating well, that very quickly shows up in my well-being, my physical, my emotional, my mental well-being. My capacity for everything is reduced when I'm not eating well. And I don't necessarily mean that I'm eating kale morning, noon and night, but it's things like having a smoothie in the morning, because that's a great way to get, you know, vegetables and whatnot. My lunch is does my lunch even exist? Because sometimes it doesn't exist. And what is my lunch? I could have a jacket potato and baked beans, for example, but I don't have to leave it there. I love massaged kale. So speaking of kale, but I could just I could pre-make it and have a bit of kale on the side. So yeah, all of those things do make a difference. And the number one, so simple, but so game changing. If I drop below 2 liters of water a day, brain fog, digestive is slow, achy, eye twitching, the whole shebang.
Yep, massive. Hydration is one of those four pillars of health. You take away a pillar, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
And I think people need to, so some of the things you mentioned, like the hydration, nutrition, there you go, water, right there. I like to
drink some water, yeah.
The meditation, these are all things that I think people who haven't got the skills or habits yet have to be intentional about.
Yeah.
And that's why I think working with someone like you or a coach, whatever they do, is to get that habit formed first before they can do it, because it's not easy. Mm-hmm. And people will always then go, oh, do you know what? I won't meditate because I've got this bit of work to do.
Whereas the meditation will free you up to do that way in a much better, more powerful way than you would if you didn't and your brain is feeling really scrambled.
Exactly. And I think the people you work with, and obviously when I did the workshop with you guys, it was interesting to see how much they were nodding their heads, feeling they had to be so productive all the time. I've got to be on it. I've got to be mm-hmm. on it all the time. And interestingly, Sweden have just gone to a 6-hour day, I think it is.
Yeah, I saw something about that. And the statistics show that if you have got a passionate, committed workforce that feel like they're supported, a reduction in work hours does not equate to a reduction in productivity. In fact, it has shown that productivity goes up. And I just wanted to pick up something, actually, something that I forgot when you were talking about how do I check myself. Mm-hmm. It's also the environments I put myself in. So I have gone out and sought friendships that are aligned with my values. I frequent the groups that you have because I know that I'm going to get not just information that is supportive, there's the camaraderie as well. And that was one of the main reasons why I started my membership group, is because when you have accountability that isn't judgment and support that feels nourishing, you're much more inclined to do the things that you want to do. And also one of the key things that really helped like hold a mirror up to myself was coaching. So me having coaching has been really helpful. And I'm not just talking about my business coaching, but coaching from you, because that's what you're doing with Project Fit, health coaching.
Yeah, it's scary that everyone needs a mentor for different areas of their life.
Yes.
That's something I learned, especially from martial arts when I was younger. And you have to have someone who's going to teach you the way and let you grow into your own way as well. And that's what
and that takes courage to allow yourself to be vulnerable. I just want to read, like, I love Brené Brown, and I've got a quote on my wall. So we know that change is very scary. As human beings, we are creatures of habit. And even if we're making a change to enhance our lives, because it is different, we get fearful. It requires vulnerability to make a change. And so in Brené Brown's Netflix special, she said, "Vulnerability feels scary and dangerous, but it is not as hard as getting to the end of life and wondering, what if I had shown up?"
Wow.
That's so powerful, because people often say, I don't have time, I don't have the money. You're not spending money when you are investing in support for you to be able to operate where you're flourishing, where you're thriving, so you're at your optimum. And the research shows the optimum is operating at 80% of your physical and mental capacity. So it's not 100% or 110% where it's burnout. 80% seems to be the good zone. So you're not spending money, it's an investment. So you can either invest something that is priceless, which is your time, in feeling crappy because you're not doing the things that you want to be doing, or you can invest some money for a finite period of time that the reward on your investment is going to pay dividends throughout your life.
And there's a study just recently come out that actually money versus physical and mental health, the physical and mental health was like up here, and from a happiness perspective.
Yeah. No one's on their deathbed saying, I wish I'd worked 10 hours a week more so that I earned X amount more.
Yeah, there's nothing on your gravestone going, well, do you know what, Tammy stayed late every day and we remember her for that. Like, and often your manager doesn't care, right? We've both been in that corporate environment where you see your director walking out and you're still trying to get the presentation ready for him the next day or her the next day. It's like,
do you know what, actually, Greg, in the world of social work, it wasn't even that. It was a culture of people almost living at work and that being a badge of honor. If you're somebody that leaves work on time, you're not doing your job.
Yeah.
And if you had a child and they knew that you were going because you had childcare, even though the preference would be for you to still be at work working, that was okay. Woe betide a person that doesn't have children that wants to leave work on time. And it's not that anybody will particularly say anything there and then, but the moment you need some support or you need to renegotiate some timescales, the first thing that would be talked about is time management. Actually, if you are one person who is supporting 20 odd people that have really significant difficulties that are impacting their life, and you know that those difficulties ultimately at one point in time could lead to the loss of life.
That's
a massive burden, but equally, it's not time management because you're set up to fail with the environment and tools you're being given to work with.
Yeah.
So I was really, really thinking about that before coming on here because I knew that we were going to be talking about these areas, and that is just like a real clear sense that it's not actually the work, it's not actually the parenting, it's actually our approach to it. And that approach is not for us to say, oh my gosh, I'm taking the wrong approach to what I'm doing. It's societal.
Yeah, it's embedded, it's ingrained. I mean, the scary thing is I used to work in the NHS, and it was crazy. So I used to come in at 8 and I used to mop up all the issues in the morning. And then I got told I had to be in at 9 because I had to do 9 till 5. And I was like, well, I'm here 8 till 4. I'm doing the same work. But because it didn't.
Same hours as well.
And I was quite, I don't understand. But I was told 9 till 5. And then when problems happened in the morning, and I said, well, I'm not here, you know, then it was seen as a performance issue for me. And I was like, nah, that doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
Things like the NHS, I think, are run on people's goodwill.
Yeah.
Without the goodwill, the NHS, for example, would crumble. And I think that's what's breaking nurses, etc. And that's why, you have to take a step back.
Mm-hmm.
Go, hang on, is this really working optimally for me?
Mm-hmm.
If it's not, then you need to do something.
We need to stop approaching everything like we're a blue light service. Everything isn't urgent. Everything isn't an emergency.
Amen. Amen. So one of the other things you talked about, we talked about obviously before we came on,
mm-hmm.
about the kind of frameworks and mindset approaches to health,
mm-hmm.
And how people talk to people about health or put it out on social media.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about things like body positivity.
Mm-hmm.
Fat shaming and that kind of stuff. What are your mm-hmm. thoughts on that? Because I know that's a very passionate point for you, on the that people take into this stuff.
It's really layered. And I think for the sake of this podcasts not being like 12 hours long.
Yeah, let's give a seasoning to the chicken on another one.
yes, indeed. I think that overall, because of our conditioning, so overall, we are currently in a point in time where we're seeing the way we've always done things, or the way that we've done things in recent times, aren't supportive and don't have to be done in that way. So we are looking for liberation and tools, community, mindset that is more supportive of living in a manner that embraces our humanity. Mm-hmm. However, we are still using age-old structures and methodologies to provide the freedom for us to expand into who we really are. So whether it is body positivity, whether it is self-care, we have fallen into a very capitalistic way of doing things, which is by saying, this is trying to make you contract into something that you're not. This is saying that this is encouraging a square peg trying to fit into a round hole.
Yep.
Don't do that. You're an individual. Come and be an individual here and be part of a community that's going to support you. But now you have to follow these rules. It becomes commercialized. It becomes branded. Mm-hmm. So with body positivity, and I acknowledge that I am here as a slim woman, that my body conforms in terms of shape, conforms to the Western European standard of beauty and health that we subscribe to or have been subscribing to. So I acknowledge that.
Yeah.
But what I'm seeing is, don't go over there because they're fat shaming you. Come over here, be who you want to be. But if you don't follow our rules, we're going to shame you by saying, you're shaming me, you're shaming other people like me, you don't really love yourself if you want to make changes to your health.
Yep.
So, for example, if you have somebody who is plus size, who is talking about body positivity, but also says they want to make changes to their health so that they can lose some weight, so that they can become healthier, and a byproduct of that is losing weight, they then often become no longer accepted within that group.
Yeah, a pariah almost.
Yeah, and it's like, actually, if this person isn't saying, I'm going to be drinking slimmer tea, I'm going to be starving myself, I'm going to be taking all of these pills. If this person says, I'm actually going to be more mindful about what I'm eating, I'm going to increase the variety of and the number of fruit and vegetables and good fats and whatnot that I have in my diet, I'm going to move my body more. Actually, what they're talking about is health, and you're being triggered. You're operating from your wound that you haven't allowed yourself to heal, that you're covering up with, I'm so positive about my body, which you may be, but there are still often things there. If you're reacting in that way to somebody that's saying, this is how I want to manage my health, that needs to be looked into. Equally with self-care, it's like, you need to do this for it to be self-care. You need to do that for it to be self-care. Actually, one of my key tools for self-care is roller skating.
Yep.
When I'm roller skating, I'm not thinking, well, I'm moving my body, so I'm losing whatever calories. What I know is I'm really in what I'm doing. So I'm in a flow state, which for me just really, you know, it energizes, it helps me to go from operating from my sympathetic nervous system into my parasympathetic nervous system, which is all of those calming, soothing hormones and chemicals that are racing around my body. So what I'm saying in essence is that we are saying that we are now in a position to have the freedom to live the way that we want to live, that is going to enable us to be emotionally fit, mentally fit, physically fit. If that is really what we mean, if that is really one of the key pillars of our integrity, we cannot then use the framework of an oppressive societal structure to try and underpin this freedom you want people to have. And I think also, let's be all the way real. Our bodies are not designed to look great. Our bodies are there to support us. Yeah. So my preference is body neutrality over body positivity. Because if you're neutral about your body, there's acceptance.
Yeah. And that's one of the things I've always said to people, love yourself as you are. Because no matter what changes you make in your life, you need to love yourself. And you know, it comes from a place of love. Then it comes from a place of hating yourself, not caring about yourself. So then wherever you change to, just never.
You're just taking that with you because there's a constant disconnect. Like, allow yourself to connect with yourself and operate from that place. I think that is, you know, really, really, that is what freedom is.
Yeah, definitely. Wow, love that, love that. Ooh. Right. Unfortunately, I've got clients and stuff and you've got...
That's okay. I think this has been a potent half hour. Ooh. And I would be very happy to come back.
I think this needs to come back soon. Yeah, we need. Yeah, we'll talk after this. And so, yeah. Do you want to just tell people about what you're doing in a minute? Because I know you've got a launch going on, I think.
Yes.
And for the value you provide, I think people should get on it. So
yes, yeah. So at the moment, so I have a monthly subscription membership. And even though it's monthly, we have a topic and we explore that topic in 3 month chunks.
Yep.
So it's like a season as opposed to doing a different thing a week. And that enables us to break down the topic and really have deep, meaningful conversations and support and accountability that leads to transformation. So although it's a monthly membership group, I open the doors, so to speak, for the membership every 3 months. So the doors to my membership are open now. Yep. And let's get to the nitty gritty. You want to know how much it costs and what you get. It's £22.22 a month. If you're into numerology, you can look that up and see what those numbers represent. And for the £22.22, you get an expert workshop every month, video call. I do weekly live question and answers outside that that are linked to the expert video call. We have, there are journal prompts. There are all sorts of things going on in there, but the main
as well, haven't system, you've got the library of experts as well, haven't you? Because you've got all the back catalog.
Yeah. So there's a back catalog that is there for you to access. There's a members area on my website that has other things on there for you to access as well. And you are able to access that as long as you're in the membership. And something that people say about the membership is that it's a wonderful space of accountability and the learning feels like love. So a way that I would describe myself is just like or how you experience my work is like one of those big hugs that holds you tight enough, but softly enough to know that you're being held. And something else that I have coming up is, on the 10th of October, I am starting a group coaching program. So the membership space is about community. The group coaching program is about delving into the things that are holding you back and providing you with tools and transformative information that leads you to action. And that is a 10-week program, which is called the Joyful Woman, Stop Feeling Stuck and Start Living. And it is aimed at women that are feeling stuck, feeling disconnected, are feeling like they're experiencing low mood, but it's not quite depression, maybe having some anxious feelings, just not living a life that feels like your own. Okay. I've got loads of tools to help, evidence-based tools and practices to be able to support you with that. Awesome. So the best thing to do would be to come along to my website, which is www.live360.com, and that's all letters. And you'll be able to see what I'm doing, what I'm up to, where I've been.
Awesome. And your social media, I know you're very big on Insta.
I wouldn't say I'm very big on the Insta. I love Instagram. It's like my friendship bench. I'm on Instagram as @live360. And again, that is all letters. So LIVETHREESIXTY. Come and find me on Instagram. You know it. Come and find me on Instagram.
Awesome. Thank you very much for coming on. And yeah, we'll definitely have to. Maybe with next one, we can talk about some of those things, some of those tools you're going to use in your next.
Yeah, totally.
Maybe take away and get help. Yeah, thank you for your time. And
thank you, Greg.
Have an awesome day, all right?
Thank you, you too. Take care.
Yeah, bye-bye.